I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no. And Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me, God damn it, do it harder, make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
What was your favorite part of the CM Punk diatribe?
The CM Punk diatribe particularly?
What was your favorite piece of it?
Wow, there's so much to choose from. I got to say the line about old Marcia. That was funny.
When we subpoenaed old Marcia, that's when he decided. That's a good one. I start with, I'm old, I'm tired, I'm hurt, and I work with fucking children.
That just led right into everything, didn't it?
I loved that one a lot. What did I ever do to deserve that from fucking fuckhead Adam Hangman Page? Oh, the events of the last 24 hours are echoing greatly across the universe of professional wrestling, and they really have, they're going to define the future of a lot of stuff and how we deal with this and how what we do going forward is going to be kind of tricky because I don't know how we go forward. Tony Khan looked extremely uncomfortable during that entire time that he was next to Phil Brooks.
You know, I'm guessing, I don't know. But I would not be surprised if there's a little brown stain in those shorts of his.
Do you have one of his specific servants who deals with the stains in his shorts? Because he might.
Oh, God. Mr. Khan, I have to get this out.
So you wanted to own a wrestling promotion. Everybody knows by now that it seems that they had a pretty successful pay-per-view. All Out did pretty well. I'm getting some good reviews on the match quality. I didn't see it. I saw some of the Zero Hour. I thought Eddie Kingston's match with the Ishii was pretty good. The other stuff that I saw was fine. The return of MJF, I guess that's being overshadowed a little bit. I'm not really terribly concerned about that and about Max feeling like he's left out. I feel like Max is going to keep himself out of this shit and be able to work some of the frustration stuff that he's feeling about maybe being slighted or minimized and just make it into a better program.
Oh, yeah.
But Punk did even allude to MJF. You probably know by now that they asked him about MJF. He said he was an extremely talented individual. But this goes for anybody who's in the locker room. The grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. And Max likes to shit where he eats instead of watering the grass, was the quote from CM Punk. And then he said,
I don't know.
No. And then he said, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
That was how he capped it off.
Well, I took that with a grain of salt. I don't know. That could have been the only work in the whole thing right there, that line. But because I don't think he shits where I think that was all a work, that whole
MJF. You think that was a work?
I think so. I mean, it may have been a little bit to it, but I don't think it's anything like what we're dealing with now.
The real winner, of course, Mindy's Bakery at 1623 North Milwaukee Avenue, maker of some of the best pastries in all of Chicago, closed Mondays and Tuesdays. Bryant, let's take a look at some of the delicious pastries that are available at Mindy's Bakery, eaten while CM Punk was burying the universe on Sunday night just outside of Chicago, Illinois.
I hate everybody here.
Just fucking munching down.
Fucking Hangman.
What's that with that Pittsburgh? What's up with that Pittsburgh Penguins jersey, bro? You got to get that shit out of here. Those Penguins suck.
Telling goddamn Ron Francis to fuck off. I mean, you know.
I know. He's such a passionate hockey fan. In the Danish category, Mindy's offers raspberry honey ricotta, a fresh fig jam, a brown buttered streusel, and look, they even have savory offerings like house-seasoned Slagle Farm pork sausage, egg, cheddar, and chive. This is
good. That's interesting.
Morning buns, cinnamon buns. These are all limited availability. When they sell them, they sell them. Chocolate oat scones, herbed cheddar scones, buttermilk biscuits, walnut praline challah sticky buns, tons of cookies, including chocolate chip Bryant. They do have a gluten-free version of that. Also, a gluten-free snickerdoodle, a Twix cookie, a coconut macaroon, Bose stoner. You don't like snickerdoodles?
Mm-mm.
Those are lovely cookies.
I know. I just, something about them. I don't know. I just don't like them.
Mindy's also has mac and cheese and some phyllo eggplant parm kolache or something. They have dog biscuits too.
Kolache, yes.
1623 North Milwaukee. Immediately following the scrum, there was a real scrum. As again, I'm not telling anyone. Anyone doesn't know. I'm just recapping this. There are now reports that there was a bit of a melee. I think that's what Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez were reporting. A melee, a Pier Sixer, if you will, Gordon Solie style, in that locker room that featured Ace Steele and CM Punk against possibly the Buckaroos and maybe even Kenny Omega. Now, we're not sure exactly what happened. There are reports that Ace Steele threw a chair and it possibly hit Nick Jackson under the eye. There have been conflicting reports that either Ace Steele bit someone or that Kenny Omega was the one who actually bit someone. I've heard both versions. Have you?
Yeah, well, yes, I have heard both versions. But I'm going to say this. I don't know much about Ace Steele. I've heard his name, you know, mentioned with Punk in the past and that sort of thing. And I really couldn't have picked him out of a fucking lineup until he showed up on a screen the other night on, I guess, Dynamite or Ramp or whatever it was.
5 days ago, Bryant. 5 days ago.
Was it that long ago? Okay.
120 days ago, Bryant.
I'm going to say this. For somebody who's supposed to be a trainer,
yeah,
and whatever to Punk, and this badass guy with this alpha male name, Ace Steel, he sure seems like a puss if he's going to have to throw a chair at Nick Jackson.
That's a little judgy. You don't know what happened.
No, but I'm just saying if that happened, don't you think he should be able to hold his own without using a fucking chair?
Well, you don't know if
Nick Jackson.
I agree that he's, you know, Nick Jackson's all of what, 5'6"?
And soaking, what, 190 pounds soaking wet?
Soaking wet right out of the I don't know if the boy. I see we haven't heard if they've got weapons on them or if they charged them or sucker punched them or anything like that. So okay. Let's reserve fair our enough judgment. Let's just.
Fair enough. Them.
And by the way, you're not in
heard
Chicago
anything about any chairs. Only thing I've heard, dude. So I've not heard anything about any other. But if that's the case, then okay, I stand corrected. But if he just went in all with chair, you know, and nobody, you know, Ace Steele can become Deuce Clay, you know.
Why aren't you Stone Hardcock? Like, if you really want to go ahead with a big, like, tough name. All right. Ace Steele is an old school guy from Chicago who was there, I think, even before Punk started wrestling. And he mentored him and helped train him, and they traveled together. And now there's some reports. I think Fightful is leading the charge on this. And everybody that shit on Sean Ross Sapp after the whole situation in Vegas where a plane was called and was going to fly MJF back, and everybody was like, no, it didn't happen. Sean Ross Sapp, you suck. Blah, 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 blah. Sean Ross Sapp is really getting all the scoops and has some really good sources with AEW. That's very, very clear.
Who I've been reading mostly on keeping up. Yeah. I'm sure you probably have too.
And I don't carry water for that guy, but when he does shit that's good, and he does pretty frequently, I like a lot of the stuff that they produce. He's been, he's given Denise Salcedo, Hollywood, a lot of work. I think she's great. I think he puts out a good product. So I'm not going to shit on Sean Ross Sapp in any way, shape, or form. His stuff is saying that Ace Steele probably is not coming back to the company. I find it hard to believe that Punk wouldn't try to stand up for his boy in this particular time. This may be one of those situations where he lets Steele kind of stew for 6 months, and then Punk goes and pays his bills, and eventually Tony brings him back. But
Punk wouldn't pay anybody's bills, man. What you talking about?
Only if Ace Steele has a joint bank account with his mother.
Right.
And by the way, I tweeted out the explanation. We'll now bring it into the podcast. Colt's explanation for this is going to be that his mom helped him with the merch thing. So, of course, they had an account together so that the money could be fungible and be moved around and yada, yada, yada. That's going to be his puss excuse for why he had a bank account with Marsha.
Marsha.
People have seemed to have forgotten. Now, when all of this blew up and they were being sued by the doctor, by Dr. Amon there in WWE, which was clearly bankrolled by Vince, no matter what anybody says. And we'll see if those records are actually sought out as to where money was going in the company. There was the reason that everything kind of blew up between Punk and Colt was as the WWE is trying to ruin their lives, Colt thought it would be a pretty good idea to go to a WWE Raw and just hang out backstage with his buddies in Chicago. To chill or to get a job or to do something. And that is when Punk goes, these guys are trying to ruin our fucking lives. And you're back there just hanging with, no, you're done. You're out of my life, motherfucker. Out.
I don't see where the problem, I mean, I see where the problem is, but I don't see where everybody else's problem is with this.
I believe the members of this podcast are clearly on Team Punk. If you are against us on this and you think it's not fair to Young Bucks, there wouldn't be an AEW without the Punk, without the Bucks, without a man. Go fuck yourself. The Bucks have been the problem the entire time in this company. The Bucks are the ones that ran Cody out of town. They've co-opted political power and they've got their buddy Omega on their side. And they tried, and they're the ones that unfortunately, I don't think Hangman is a bad guy. I think Hangman is a legitimate victim in this whole thing. I think he was brainwashed by these two midgets into thinking that, oh, look, Colt's being fucked over. Somebody should do something. And then all of a sudden, he goes out there, and as Punk says, he jeopardized a huge house based on some backstage bullshit and his buddy Colt, his little buddy Colt, getting fucked over and minimized. Colt is still on the payroll. Has anybody figured this out yet? The report was, even though he got demoted, quote unquote, demoted to ROH, he's still getting the same money he was getting in AEW. And Punk's story is he's never for one second says, Tony, push him over to the side, minimize him, get him out of my face. If Punk wanted Scott Colton gone from the company, I think he could go to Tony right now and say, I want him fired. Get him the fuck out of here. I think that could have happened 1 year ago when he made his appearance at First Dance there on Rampage on Friday night, August the 30th or whatever it was. I believe that that could have been done very easily, that if Punk wanted Scott Colton out of that company, he could have said, Tony, me or him, get rid of him.
Yeah.
And he would be done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who wouldn't think that? I mean, that's what kills me. Here's another thing. I think now is a good time for you to recap.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why we have called this out as long as we have. Exactly. Now, because we always make little jabs and say Colt's an asshole here or a jackass there. But I think it's time, just in case people have not didn't hear exactly back in the day when we've explained exactly why he's an asshole.
Because we were both fans. I was a huge fan of Art of Wrestling. Huge fan. I loved the podcast. I looked forward to it every week. I thought it was a really good show. I thought he did a great job of bringing us inside the lives of wrestlers, and he brought up some great stories, and there were some inside jokes that were hilarious, and there was some shit that I thought it was great. And then the weekend, all of that shit happened with him dropping the thing. God damn, that was a long time ago. What was that? It must have been 2013 or 2014. 13, Colt Cabana happened to be booked for WrestleCade, which we go to every year. So it means we've been going to WrestleCade for 10 years. Probably 10 or 11. I mean, it's been a long time. It's been a long, long fucking time. So when we pulled up to the Jim Cornette roast the night before, you could hear it in my car. I was listening to that fucking podcast. Do you remember me pulling into the garage and I'm listening to the fucking podcast of CM Punk just laying away. He had shocked the world. This was like Pipe Bomb 2. I guess what we saw on Sunday was Pipe Bomb 3. This was like blowing up. I'm saying, this is massively huge. So we went up to Colt Cabana the next day and we go, you know, we've got a little wrestling podcast too. And it's complete humility because I know that nobody listens to our podcast, especially compared to what he was pulling down. They blew up his server. They fucking blew up his server
literally
on Thanksgiving. Yeah, they killed it and it just destroyed it because, and I said, you know, we were going to have the number one podcast in the world, except you had it this week. He goes, yeah. Wait, were you though, really? Like, he just had to sink the knife in. Like, I wasn't aware that I was less popular than Colt Cabana. Bryant then purchased a t-shirt.
Yes.
Bryant, do you still have that in your possession?
Yes.
Bryant still has a t-shirt. He has the eye and the Star of David, Colt Cabana, instead of I Heart Colt. He's got the eye and he's got that thing. And he used to wear it back when we didn't hate him. So I can't remember what the thing was on Twitter, but I was calling out something that he had said in one of the podcasts. And I thought, well, WWE's probably gonna be happy about that. He DMs me and he calls me a troll. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, a troll. So I've got that DM'd somewhere. It's in my DMs. And then he blocked me. And then I would just hear all of these whispers from various people, especially MLW guys, that, like, you know, his personality is kind of a work. Like, he pretends to like the fans, but he's like a huge dickaroni baloney pony. And I would just hear this. And then as time would go on, you would just know, oh, this guy is a huge, massive self-promoter, but he doesn't care about anyone else. No. He fucks over everyone else. And now he's playing the martyr.
Yeah, right. And another thing, just to elaborate just a little bit on the WrestleCade, once you said that, And because that was like the first thing you said when we walked out, it's the first thing that was mentioned about anything. Just, and now, you know, you could have done that. I guarantee you, dude, if you'd done that to anybody else at that show,
they would have been fine.
But what I was going to say is, he was just a dick the whole time after that, even after I purchased the shirt and the, because we got a shirt and something else. What was it?
I think I got the DVD. I got the Road Trip
Diary. That's it.
Yeah, and then Deuce came up and talked to us, and Deuce was great. Cliff Compton was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. He was chill as hell. After that, he was just the biggest dickhead. Just his attitude. And I don't know, man. It kind of blew my mind in a way, because I really didn't think he was going to be like this. Some of those guys and girls, you can almost expect it, but I didn't expect it from him. I thought he was going to be a fun guy to deal and joke around like we were doing and say, and it just turned into the biggest shit show. And then the whole blocking you thing and responding like he did on the with a DM where you couldn't DM him back.
That is April the 10th of 2015, where he calls me troll. And then on May 25th of 2015, a troll. That was him calling me out, and that's been 7+ years ago.
Is the tweet still there? Is that tweet still there?
I don't think so. Yeah,
but it was something like, I'm sure, you know, Roddy wouldn't agree with what he said or something like that. You know,
yeah.
It was really innocent. I mean, it was
troll.
God damn.
And now he's playing the victim, but yes, that's exactly. I mean, and he's just been a dick ever since. And you heard Punk say it last night. You heard him say, my problem is that I tried to take a guy to the top who did not want to see me at the top.
Yeah.
And you can absolutely see that with Colt Cabana. He is a self-serving, self-promoting piece of shit who tries to make himself out to be more important than he is. And now he's caused massive amounts of consternation in this promotion over nothing, over him supposedly being mistreated, over him being expelled from a shitty faction that can't get over anyway.
It's
beyond stupid what's happening right now. And I heard Chris Rock recently. He started finally talking about Will Smith slapping him. And he said for all these years, it was Will Smith had this mask on and he was trying to convince the world that's what he was. And on that one day when he got at the Oscars and he slapped Chris Rock, the mask came off. And he said, Chris Rock goes, I hope that he keeps the mask off for a little while, just kind of lets the face breathe for a minute. Well, you're seeing the real Colt Cabana now. You're seeing all of the shit that CM Punk said last night that, by the way, he's been sitting on for years. as people have been like, well, you're a bad friend and you're this and you're that and you're not being loyal. We love Punk. Why are you trying to fuck? He's had to sit on that. He hadn't said shit for years, and finally he had to tell him about, I paid the motherfucker's bills. I did all of this shit. I tried to settle with him to settle the lawsuit. I tried to go to mediation. I tried to pay him to make him go away. It wasn't enough. Finally, when he was embarrassed enough and they discovered that he was sharing a bank account with his mother, that was when Punk goes, no mas. I'm out. I'm tapping. Whatever you want. It's unbelievable that people have bought into this shit. It's unbelievable that Tony has allowed the Young Bucks to run wild and free and do whatever they've done and fuck up stuff. And now we're at the point now where some decisions are going to have to be made. There's going to be a lot. I don't know what it's going to be. It's probably going to result in some sort of lawsuit. I'm sure the Bucks are going to have to sue based on, you know, getting beat up in the locker room or what the fuck ever.
Well, it sounded like they confronted Punk. I don't know who threw first punches and all that, but they seem to be the ones knowing that Punk was fired up as hell and they should probably hold off. And if they were going to, you know, go face to face with him, probably hold off until cooler heads prevailed. But I'm not defending anybody for throwing chairs and all that shit. I'm just saying it sounds like they confronted him when they probably shouldn't have at that time.
Tony's going to have to figure it out. He's got a world champion. The guy who is intrinsic to this business continuing, his name is Phil Brooks. He's your world champion. He's the one that sells the houses. He's the one that just made you, for the most part, $1 million on a house. Okay? Those fuckers over there are in trios matches with their buddy, and they keep burying FTR. By the way, you see which side of the equation FTR is on, right? They've been pretty public about their support for CM Punk over the past several weeks, right? That's what I've been seeing too. So you kind of know what's going on there. You kind of figured that out. So Tony's going to have to make a decision. It's either going to be the Bucks, and if you lose the Bucks, you're going to lose Omega, which I'm fine with. But of course, Omega's in charge of this whole fucking whatever. He's in charge of this video game situation. I don't know.
Well, can I tell you who I think comes out of all this smelling like the finest rose and the biggest meadow of full-bloomed roses?
The Katie Vick is Alive podcast?
Well, okay, fair enough. But I was thinking Cody.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Cody's just like, try to tell y'all.
He's becoming a much, much more sympathetic character. And if he had a story to tell, I'm sure he would tell a story very similar to what was told by CM Punk about these assholes spreading rumors, spreading dissent, spreading disinformation, putting shit out there that poisons the environment. That's all these fuckers do. 90% of the problems in that fucking promotion are Matt and Nick Jackson, period, full stop.
And I don't see why people do not see that. How do they not see this? The people I'm talking about, the shit I've been reading all day on Twitter, people killing Punk, you know. But I think, here's the thing too. Going back to what Hangman said that time when he came out and spilled his bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't know if he just did that and didn't give shit what people thought and just was doing it to be a good buddy or whatever to Colt. But, you know, I don't think they realize that as many people that go to AEW shows and watch AEW are pretty hardcore fans. There's still a ton of fucking people, especially as long as it's been, that don't really know the background of all this. And when Hangman comes out telling all this stuff that's kind of, you know, inside shit almost, it's not really inside stuff because, like I said, a lot of people obviously know about it, but there are also a lot of people who don't know about it. And they're that's probably right. Just like, what is he talking about? You know?
Right.
And I just think not only did he look like an idiot by doing that to Punk, but he also looked like an idiot doing that to a lot of other fans because,
absolutely.
He just, you know, so I think there's a lot more to it than just what was said.
When Last and Cornette were talking about it, Last was like, I would have suspended him right there. And Cornette goes, well, I would have just gone right to the firing. You're done. What are you doing? We're trying to build for a massive pay-per-view and you're out there jacking off for a bunch of guys on Reddit. I mean, which is basically what it's come down to. And I'm glad Punk called that off. He goes, I'm trying to build up a company here. I'm trying to sell $1 million houses. These fuckers think they're in Reseda. And that's a PWG illusion. They think they're in a warehouse somewhere in Reseda. Nothing wrong with PWG. And I know Dave Meltzer thinks it's a height of professional wrestling, but you got $40 in a closet down there in, you know, a fucking in Reseda next to a warehouse. It's a little bit different than trying to actually make yourself into a big time wrestling promotion. Yes. So these guys need to leave that indie mindset behind, and they can't. He needs to cut those guys. The Bucks need to be out of that company, and that needs to send a message to the whole fucking locker room. If you guys were sympathetic to them, I'm sorry. That's not what's up. This guy is what's up. This guy, CM Punk, sells tickets for us, and if you'll fucking listen to him, he can tell you how to be successful in this business. And yes, he has tried to get people over on many occasions. First match when he was in AEW was with Wynn. What was his first thing that he did? He went with Darby Allin. He could have picked anybody in the world to work with to get him over. And he liked Darby Allin. He said, this kid needs my help. I'm going to help elevate this guy. And he fucking did it. So anybody that thinks that CM Punk is selfish and the bullshit about wherever he goes, he causes problems.
He didn't cause these problems. I'm sorry.
Did I miss something, or was it just heavenly in the WWE after he left, right? Nobody left after that. Nobody got cut. Nobody ran away. Nobody talked about how awful it was in the WWE for all those years under Vince, right? After Punk left, it was just a fantastic place to work. Get out of my face with that shit.
Yeah. Sasha. Line two.
Exactly. I mean, there was over and over again. You had all these people that got cut. And just in the past few years, all of that shit, the culture's just recently started getting a little better. Although tonight we did have a medical facility. There was a medical facility spotting in Kansas City, ladies and gentlemen. The hospital still apparently foreboding. So I don't know what Tony does, but Tony's got to stand up and be a man for once in his fucking
life. Yes, he does.
And yes, I'm sorry that it's gotten to this. Is this a failure of leadership on your part? You got to step up. You got to make some decisions. They got to be some hard decisions. And if you lose some people, that's what I'll tell you, the guys. Again, I'm going to go ahead and say it. If you can keep Eddie Kingston, if you can keep him in the fold, you're fine. But anybody that follows the Punks out the Bucks out the door, you're making the wrong decision. You're making an absolute terrible decision because they're not going to look out for you for one second. It's like the thing that they were talking about when Mick Foley stayed off of Raw after the Montreal Screwjob. Mick, is Bret Hart going to be paying your bills next week? Will he be paying your mortgage? You need to come back to work. And Tony's going to go, if you don't like it, I'll give you a release. Anybody doesn't want to be here doesn't have to be here. But I'm getting rid of the Bucks. I'm getting rid of Omega. He can decide. Omega needs to make a decision if he wants to be with them or if he wants to be in Bucks Incorporated and Rancho Cucamonga. But this shit has got to stop immediately because there is a chance right now for this company to take off like a rocket ship if they can just get this internal bullshit taken care of.
And also, too, he and I think everybody heard this, too, that like in the middle of all the ranting and raving from Punk, he told us how much he loved freaking Adam Cole, you know? And so, I mean, he's not out there just downgrading everybody in the back. I think that's what a lot of people hear, you know, they hear that shit and they think he's talking about every damn body in the back in the locker room, you know, and he's just being selfish and da, 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 da. No. Look, I'm not saying Punk's can't be a little arrogant at times. And I don't think, you know, I don't think he has been since he's been back. I think he's toned down a lot since he's come back until Hangman did his shit. And that's when things just went sideways.
What the fuck is this? What are you doing?
Where did this come from? What did I do? You know,
but it's bizarre. And it's somebody, I mean, yeah, you're right. I think Punk is a tough guy to get along with sometimes. But somebody tell me where he lied. Somebody tell me where he didn't tell the truth about what happened. Nobody's been able to point that out. Nobody at all has been able to point out where he lied about any of the stuff that's happening, about the EVP spreading malicious gossip, about all of that stuff dragging the company down. He's not lied about a single thing that he said.
And so, and, you know, I you've probably seen this too all day long about the clip from WWE when Punk and Triple H are at the table and Triple H, you know, tells him, reads him the Riot Act basically or whatever. And people are like, well, Triple H was right this whole time. Well, you know what? Punk was right too. if Triple H, he may have been right on some things, but Punk was right too. Just like you said, tell me where he was wrong on those pipe bombs or whatever that he said. He wasn't wrong.
No, he wasn't.
Was just pointing shit out. He's the only one that can get up there, and he was willing to go up there and say that shit.
Yeah, I don't. And Punk has been loyal to any number of people in his life. This is the one guy who used him, and this is the one guy he speaks out about. Everybody else, he's been completely. He talks about. Remember, he paid off Joey Mercury's house when Joey was on drugs, yes, and it didn't have any money coming in.
Yes.
All that shit. He's got.
Yes.
Anybody, you cannot take the Buck side in this bullshit. You cannot take the Colt Cabana side in this bullshit. Tony needs to go ahead and cut ties with the Bucks. They cannot exist and let the lawsuits fly, whatever it takes. You got to get rid of them, get the cancer out. Call it a dumb tax because you were the one that didn't address these issues for a number of years, Tony, and just move on. We've got a huge opportunity right now with Punk against MJF. This is going to be a monster program. Max looked fantastic. The fans were fucking fired up as shit about this stuff. This company could get hot right now, and they still have that Punk-Danielson matchup that could happen next year. That could be a dream match for just about anybody that's ever watched pro wrestling. The Acclaimed is over as fuck right now. The Acclaimed, I mean, honest to God, I didn't see it for a while, but those guys are massive. They've got the chance to be real big right now. You got some great talent in this company. All you got to do is get rid of the cancer, Tony. That's all you got to do right now is get rid of the fucking cancer. Those 2 5-foot-4-inch cancerous tumors from Rancho Cucamonga. All you got to do is excise them and life will get a lot better. And anybody else that wants to follow them out the door, they got to go. But I hope they're able to keep Eddie Kingston. I hope they're able to keep some of the core guys that are in there. Sting is a veteran guy that can help soothe over this situation. They've got people in the locker room that have been through tough locker room shit, and they know how to get past this stuff. But man, Tony's got to step up, and it doesn't take Kenny Omega trying to call people out like he's Bear fucking Bryant backstage.
Apparently, though, from things I've read too, and you've probably seen this as well, that I've had my personal issues with some of Jericho's personal life stuff, but he seemed to be kind of one of the cooler heads back there trying to keep things in order, which, is, and I'm glad to hear, that he's not out there being a buck kisser, buck ass kisser or whatever. But, Jericho's been around long enough. I think he's, and I've never really thought he was anything like the Bucks at all, but I'm just glad that he's not taking up for the Bucks. Sounds like anyway.
Tony pissed me off last night too, and they were like, he was like, I tried to play nice with the WWE, but I'm just not feeling it. I'm not seeing it. They go, well, what happened? And he goes, I just don't want to get into it. Motherfucker, this is your press conference. This is you. You can say whatever you want to right now. You're in a war. It's time that you realize you're in a war. I know the guys in the WWE right now, they're not like, we're going to go ahead and take it easy on Tony. No, they're trying to murder you right now. They're trying to take your house away from you and go after your dad's bumper empire. They're trying to do everything to you right now. You need to realize, dude, it's okay to call these motherfuckers out. You got to do that.
Tony, you said this a gazillion times. He's going to have to – his balls are going to have to drop one of these days, man.
Yeah.
They've got to, because this thing is going to turn into WCW 2000 quicker than shit.
Well, I did hear him say, he did say the thing about Jim Crockett, which I thought was pretty cool. Did you hear that?
Yeah, but he's got more money than Jim Crockett.
So I don't have to sit back and take this shit because I got a shit ton more money than Jim Crockett Jr., which I thought was, all right, turn it loose, man. Let's go. And he was pissed because they had run, 2 separate big time cards on the same weekend. He's running his huge card. They ran Wrestle at the Castle. And they had Worlds Collide, which is the show that I've seen the least. Oh, I didn't see any of the AEW pay-per-view, but I haven't seen much of when Worlds Collide. I saw a little bit of Ricochet's match. I saw a little bit of Mandy's match.
Did you see that spot with him with Ricochet and Carmelo when they jumped off the top rope and slammed chest?
That was nuts. God. That was some nuts shit. Let's get on to some of the stuff that happened over the weekend. The results from Worlds Collide. Carmelo Hayes does beat Ricochet by pinfall. It is the singles match for the NXT North American Championship. So the push that Ricochet has been getting on the main roster kind of falls, but maybe this is him bidding farewell to NXT. That may be how we need to take this, I guess.
Maybe. I didn't really understand this. I thought Ricochet was actually going to win and kind of reestablish himself, because Carmelo does. I don't think Carmelo needs to establish himself. I think he's pretty much solidified himself as a legit champ. You know, he didn't need to beat Ricochet for anybody to go, damn, he's good. You know, I think he's noticeably good. I don't know where, you know, anybody would think that, but that since he won, it's kind of like, eh, I'm not sure what the point of all that was, but it was a great match.
Now I'm reading from wrestling Twitter that apparently Ace Steel threw the chair so hard that apparently, perhaps allegedly, Nick goes knocked out.
I did Nick see was he knocked was knocked out, but I think what they weren't sure of is if it was from a chair or not. But
no, it was from when he hit the chair and then he hit the floor. The floor knocked him out. It wasn't the chair.
Well, chairs and floors are both pretty hard. So
these are again very, very slight legal differences. I don't know if that would really hold up at all.
Yes, very slight.
How are you feeling about Pretty Deadly? Because I'm starting to get on board with these guys.
I think they've needed somebody like this in wrestling for a long time.
I agree.
The long-haired dudes that the alpha males hate, you know, just because of what they look like and they're assholes and jerks and douchebags. They're perfect. I love them, man.
Absolutely. They're pretty good. They have unified the NXT Tag Team Championship over Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs.
Like them better than those dudes. I'm sorry.
I agree. They weren't bad, but I just feel like...
Yeah, all right.
I think the right decision was made. Mandy Rose in a three-way. She unifies the NXT Women's Mandy Championship. Rose in a
three-way. God,
I tell you what. Now Tyson and I were trying to rank our favorite women in all of wrestling, and he didn't have Alexa on his, but we both had Mandy right at the top. Like Mandy's
your top what? Top
our favorites in wrestling right now.
Okay,
I think it's Mandy, then Alexa. Number three for me right now might be Scarlett, although Toni Storm is right there with her. And then I give an honorable mention to Paige VanZant when she shows up, because I'm a huge fan of Paige VanZant.
I tell you what, Io Shirai had a little cleave going on tonight, man. Oh, yeah, I never noticed cute. All that.
She's wow. cute. And Liv is also like on the radar too. I love Liv. I wish Liv would get a little bit of a makeover, but I think she's great.
I agree. I think a lot of people agree, actually.
Katana Chance and Caden Carter over Doudrop and Nikki Ash. God damn. When's the last time that Doudrop and Nikki Ash won anything?
I don't know. It's a waste of talent, if you ask me. I mean, I think because both of those chicks in singles, I think are great. And everybody knows how Nikki's good. But Piper Niven is really good. And a lot of people don't remember her back in that Mae Young Challenge. How she's good, man. And I just hate to see her, you know, get shit on kind of like this. Or both of them get shit on, really.
And the can't miss kid, Bron Breakker, unifies the NXT championship by pinning Tyler Bate 17 minutes, 11 seconds.
That match, man, I'm going to tell you what, I was a little shocked at that match. I didn't realize Tyler Bate was all that good. I mean, I really hadn't seen him wrestle that much, but just seeing him physically, I'm like, this isn't going to be worth a shit, but damn, man, he really looked good.
Well, and also you got to give some credit to Braun for making him, you know, polish up a little bit, right?
Good. Fair enough. Yes, I agree with that. How do you feel about him now? Are you still on board with him?
I think they need to make him a part of WrestleMania next year somehow, and that's got to start. I think main roster, I think Triple H needs to start getting him in the mix on something. I wouldn't. This is tough because the Cody Rhodes situation needs to be that he goes after the championship, because that's his kind of his mantra. But I almost think that a Cody Rhodes Bron Breakker feud starting around January, February and leading into WrestleMania would be pretty good. And I think it could be helpful for both of them, because then, you know, Bron Breakker has this thing. Well, you keep talking about your family. You know, my family has fucking history in this thing too.
Exactly. That's why I was going to say they have both of the family thing to kind of go with there. So I think that would definitely work.
And by the way, my dad hated your dad. So you could do some shit like that.
Yes. It'd be great. Of course, you could have like Rick appear at some point and shit. Something. You know? Yeah.
I would say, and of course, I think Cody has to go over, but it'd be a banger of a match, make the kid look good. And in his first chance of the limelight, he's at WrestleMania and he's wrestling one of the top baby faces in the entire company, and he does really well. So I don't see any downside to that at all. I think that's what should happen. If I'm doing fantasy booking on that guy, I still think he's the can't miss kid. I think as far as aptitude for the business, the physicality, the look, I think everything, he's 100% can't miss.
And not to mention the fact that if you look at the roster right now in NXT, man, there's really not anybody that legit looks like they could even come close to beating him. I mean, Carmelo Hayes or somebody like that, maybe.
No.
But he's head and shoulders above people in singles matches.
Yeah, he's a man among boys. And I say that with all due respect to our guy Cameron Grimes, but that's not, he's a man among boys down there. It's not serving him well to stay at that level.
No, it's not. It's not.
I don't think at this point. I think the sooner the better that they, but you know, I'm sure the only thing that, I mean, I hesitate to say this. I don't even know if Vince Russo could fuck up booking that guy.
he's a specimen. He for sure.
You see how Russo's getting roundly blocked, and people are calling him mocked rather for lying about lying about that consultant role at USA Network. They're calling bullshit on it.
How about that? Remember my air quotes.
Hassle at the castle. Cardiff, Wales. This was a pregame show.
What would you give that overall before we get into individual?
I think it outperformed. I think it's a solid eight. I think it's a solid eight. That was a good show.
I agree, man. I totally agree.
I wasn't expecting a whole lot out of it. It really exceeded my expectations. It honestly did. Madcap Moss and the Street Profits defeating Austin Theory and Alpha Academy. He is back to being Austin Theory now.
Good. That's 100%. That's a start.
Damage Control, which is what we're calling Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky, so we're not going to call them Bayley's buddies. They defeated Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka by pinfall. It was Bianca that ate the pinfall from Bayley too.
Yeah,
which was alluded to tonight.
I think that worked though. I think that works.
It was good. Gunther against Sheamus. They just beat the shit out of each other.
God Almighty!
If you were a fan of those old, I don't know, Johnny Valentine matches where he would just slap the shit out of people and stuff like that. You were enjoying this one. And it was for that kind of a brawl, it was very, very good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was really good. I really enjoyed that match. I like the round of applause and all that Sheamus got after the match, man. I could see him tearing up a little bit, looked like almost.
And then Tyson Fury comes in and sings American Pie.
The fuck was that?
Apparently, it's a very popular song and has been for 50 years over there.
I guess that's what I figured, because after they followed it up with Sweet Caroline, I kind of put two and two together with it. So, I don't know. But still, it's just kind of at first really weird.
This is the stuff that I can't do right now because Twitter has limited me because I was calling people pieces of shit. But Disco just tweeted out. Disco just tweeted out, anybody notice how hurricane season has decided not to participate in the climate emergency so far this year? To which I wanted to tweet back, anybody notice that Disco is a piece of shit? But I can't do that right now because I'm limited for the next 12 hours or so. So that's unfortunate. Although he actually said something, and Mark Madden actually said something that I agreed with today. So I'm kind of...
I saw the Mark Madden one that you agreed with. That
weird.
And that did make sense.
Very, very, very weird. Well, I mean, he's, a stopped watch is right twice a day. So.
Yes, yes, yes.
Liv Morgan and Shayna Baszler. I really didn't see that match. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I will say that as much shit as we've been giving Liv lately. She looked okay. She looked a lot better now, and it wasn't some whack finish. It was a legit pin. So, but I still wish Shayna would get that belt. I think she deserves that belt at some point, dude.
Edge and Rey Mysterio with Dominic defeating the Judgment Day, which ended with Dominic turning on his own father there. And
people really giving Judgment Day a bunch of shit, man. Just because they don't win matches and they don't. have any problem with them, really. I think they're doing just fine.
Well, you've heard Flair talk about that. How many pinfalls did fucking the Horsemen take? I mean, they ate a lot. They lost a lot.
But they beat the shit out of them afterwards. And that's
exactly.
That's what they're doing here. So, I mean, I think that's what the deal's supposed to be.
And in case you missed Monday Night Raw, now the storyline is that Dominic has been fucked by Rhea Ripley and she has won him over with her pussy. And now he's on the dark side.
I'd be right, man. I'd be dressed in black.
Yeah,
right
to that, there. I say, sure, sign me up.
Sorry, Dad. Sorry, Ray Ray.
I love you guys. And then they were chanting, Eddie's son, Eddie's son, Eddie's son. I wish that would be. I'm not even your son anyway. Get the fuck out of my face. So what if I turn on you?
Yeah, hear these guys? Hear them?
I mean, I'm going to be known as Dominic Guerrero from now on. Okay? That is my name.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Dominic, he grabs the microphone away from the announcer. Hey, you will refer to me as Dominic Guerrero. Reannounce this match. It'd be great.
Oh, that would be gold.
That would be the shit. Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle, who seem to be having a lot of really good matches. It was Seth freaking Rollins defeating Matt Riddle by a pinfall. They kind of followed up a little bit on this tonight as Matt Riddle absolutely demanded a rematch. And Seth Rollins was like, nah, not going to happen. So,
which means it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of it too, but they do have good matches. I mean, I have to admit.
I was going to say the same thing, but as much as we used to talk about KO and Sammy, you know, and their endless matches and everything, we can't really say too much about Riddle and Rollins because they put on some pretty fucking good matches too.
Roman Reigns over Drew McIntyre by pinfall. It was the main roster debut of Solo Siaki. I don't know. Is that his name? What is his name?
Solo Sikoa.
Solo Sikoa. It's Sonny Siaki, the ace in your face.
It's Uso's little brother.
Their little brother. Yeah. So Solo Sikoa. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Well, he made his debut, interfered in the match, and helped Roman get the pinfall. And he's got a good look to him. And again, all of the ideas that I have, remember the Island Nation faction was my idea.
Yes, it was.
And it's come. The only thing they haven't done is get Naomi involved. And maybe when they bring her back, they can heal her and put her on there with them.
I could see that.
I'd love to see that. I think it would be fantastic. The Sami Zayn stuff I didn't predict and couldn't have, but
that shit's hilarious, man. I love that shit. It probably pisses people off, but I think that, and I don't know if you've noticed or not, but he cracks Jimmy and Jay up all the time. It's all they can do from not cracking up on camera, man.
That is 100% him being entertaining. That is all. I mean, and he deserves a lot of credit for that because that could have been a bunch of bullshit, but he turned that out really good. Just like KO deserves a lot of credit for carrying the ball the way he is. He's very entertaining right now. He's kicking all the ass right now.
Definitely, man. People love him. They, you know, this is where they need to push him up. They need to get him in some title contentions here and quit dicking around.
This was the All Out from suburban Chicago, Illinois. The Japs, the Jericho Appreciation Society, with Sammy Guevara and Ty Mello defeating Ortiz and Ruby Soho. I did see Ruby Soho giving Sammy Guevara a pretty convincing DDT. Did she end up breaking her nose? Did I read
yes.
that? Yeah, she ended up breaking her nose. She don't give
I
a
saw,
shit.
I didn't see the match. When I turned it on YouTube, I saw that she was almost at the exact same time she was running up the ramp with the ref holding her nose like that. And it looked like it was whatever. I didn't see what happened to her, but I'm like, something happened to her and it's legit because I could tell by the way she was holding her nose and the way the ref was looking at her.
She don't give a shit. She'll reset that thing, like take an aspirin and be on it. She's tough as fuck.
Hell yeah, she will.
The Hooker retains his FTW championship by submitting Angelo Parker, 3:55. Pac over Kip Sabian by a pinfall. And then as he was headed backstage, he was challenged by Orange Cassidy, but Pac goes, you're a joke. He disrespected Orange Cassidy in front of all of Chicago, Bryant.
Not good.
Good match for Eddie Kingston as he defeats Tomohiro Ishii by a pinfall. Crowd seemed to be into it. I thought they had a pretty good match.
Yeah, I don't think that would have been. That's a better match than what he and Guevara would have been anyway. You know, because I think they match up pretty well. Kingston and Ishii.
The casino ladder match was classic AEW confusing booking. As somebody was about to win, then all of a sudden, a bunch of hooded figures come out, beat everybody down, and then the Joker makes his appearance, Tony Khan, as Richie Rich has done another fantastic job of spending daddy's money, has licensed Sympathy for the Devil by the Rolling Stones. He's bought the rights to that music, and I don't even know how much that would be, but it's a fucking lot of money.
I can't imagine it not being six figures. Easy.
And then from now on, it's probably going to be MJF's theme, I would think, from then on out.
That'd be great, though. That's a perfect song, really.
Cult of Personality versus
the whole crowd going, whoo, whoo.
It's Cult of Personality versus Sympathy for the Devil.
Yeah.
14 minutes, 15 seconds as the Joker, we don't know who that is yet, wins that chip and gets a future AEW World Championship shot. Elite.
Now, didn't we see something in the back where he takes his mask off?
Later.
And he's got his back to the camera. He takes
later.
And then he puts his scarf on, but he doesn't really later. Show it.
That comes at the end.
Oh, my bad.
You're blowing my spot, pal.
Dude, I didn't realize. Okay, my bad. I didn't say that. Edit.
The Elite, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, surprisingly putting themselves over as they win the AEW World Trios Championship.
It was amazing.
Beating their good buddy Hangman Page, who they love so much, and the Dark Order. Dumbasses. Jade Cargill defeating Athena by a pinfall. 4 minutes and 20 seconds. I haven't heard anything about that match. That doesn't sound like anything.
I haven't heard anything either. I just knew she won.
Wardlow and FTR.
I actually watched The Godfather last night.
Oh, did you?
It was on Showtime, and I've never watched it from beginning to end.
Oh,
you know, I've always seen it in increments all through my life, but I've never sat and watched the whole thing, so I did.
If Sonny would have just had Easy Pass.
You know, he'd have been right through that damn toll gate.
No problem at all. Wardlow and FTR over Jay Lethal and the Guns, 16 minutes and 30 seconds. I'm hearing good things about that. I mean, that match couldn't be anything but good.
I'm sure.
Powerhouse Hobbs defeating Ricky Starks by a pinfall, 5 minutes and 5 seconds. What is this?
I don't get that.
How does that help? I don't understand it. I was pondering that myself. The Acclaim came out and were monster over. They end up losing to Swerve in Our Glory. And then Billy Gunn tried to scissor with Keith Lee. I don't understand. The fans did not enjoy that. 22 and a half minutes worth of sports entertainment. The previously mentioned gorgeous Tony Storm defeating Dr. Shit Taker along with Jamie Hayter in the house and Hikaru Shida. Four-way match. It's the interim Women's World Championship, Brian.
Well, you know.
God almighty.
Belts, belts, belts.
Here's another one that I don't know how this happened or why it happened, but Christian Cage over Jungle Boy in 20 seconds is a squash.
See, I don't.
How does that help? How does that help Jungle Boy?
I don't know. I don't know.
Jericho against Bryan Danielson. It's Jericho goes over 23 minutes, 40 seconds. I'm hearing good things.
I don't get
about
that one either, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm with you, but I hear it's a good match.
Yeah, I did hear it was a pretty good match. Huh?
Darby Allin, Sting, and Miro defeating the House of Black. The rumors continue that Malakai Black is suffering some sort of mental health crisis, not very happy right now, and maybe taking a leave of absence from wrestling in general. 12 minutes, 10 seconds in that one, and it is Darby Allin, Sting, and Miro.
I did like the makeup, though, they had last night.
I didn't see,
Malakai's makeup.
What was it?
I can't really describe it. It was different. If you Google, I'm sure it'll be on there. But yeah, man, it was sweet.
And then the Punkaroo defeats John Moxley by a pinfall. Everybody's giving this one rave reviews. 19 minutes, 55 seconds. That's when we saw the lights go down. The Joker come on the screen. He turns his back, removes the mask, puts on the Burberry scarf. And it is revealed, of course, that MJF has returned. They played a voicemail message from Tony Khan, essentially begging MJF to come back and that he would do this for him. If he comes to All Out, he'll fly him there. He'll get him in the pay-per-view. He'll pay him X amount of dollars. They beeped that part out so they wouldn't know what the money was. And then Sympathy for the Devil plays. MJF comes out. He challenges, not with a microphone per se, but he says that title is coming back to me or something of that nature to CM Punk. And then CM Punk had some mostly good things to say about Max post-match. Some people again saying Max is being lost in the sauce with all of the drama. understandably. But again, I think Max is a professional. He's going to work his way out of this and he's going to be okay.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? He might welcome some of that without everything being spotlighted completely on him, you know?
Yeah, I don't see Max getting caught up in this shit. I think Max is too smart to get caught up in all this shit.
I would think so. I don't know much about him off camera, I guess. I don't know what kind of person he really is. So it's hard for me to say what he really thinks about all this shit.
He acted kind of rashly when they were in Vegas, of course, and all that stuff, but Jesus, if you're there and you're doing this stuff and you realize you're the second biggest needle mover when it comes to ratings, and then you see Christian Cage making 5 and 6 times what you're making, you're probably going to be pissed about that.
Probably.
The return of Braun Strowman was also a huge story tonight as he actually slipped going after Chad Gable and fell. I hope the AEW botches guy caught that one. We saw a variety of various cars being overturned. It looked like a Michael Bay movie of some sort. And then it was announced that Strowman came out and started whooping ass and taking names, and he's going to appear on Friday Night SmackDown, Brian.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I used to kind of be a Strowman guy just because he's a Carolina boy, grew up down the road and all that shit. But I don't know. Once he left WWE and all the control your narrative bullshit and some of his personal views on shit, I'm not the biggest fan of him anymore, but you know, good for him for making money, I guess.
WrestleLink says that Road Dogg has broken down crying in one of the latest things that they're doing. It's the documentary that's going to be coming out on China. They came to my house and I didn't think I was going to cry, but it got to me, man. Some of that survivor's guilt comes back. You know what I mean? I did every horrible thing she ever did. Why me? It got to me yesterday and the guy said, oh man, that's going to be good TV. Okay. I mean, I would be pissed off if somebody said that, if I'm crying and then the guy goes, yeah. But you have to understand at some point in time, a little bit of what you're doing is porn, and your money shot in this case happens to be tears.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but that's kind of what we're looking for if you're one of those TV guys.
Of course. That's good to hear, though. I'm glad he does. You know, but I'm not saying I don't think he ever had a heart. I think he does, but it's good to see it. You know, let people know he's got one.
Bryan Danielson addresses AEW All Out loss to Chris Jericho. Danielson took to Twitter with a brief message regarding his loss. Sometimes life kicks you in the nuts, but then the key is to get back up. Perhaps Danielson is looking at the silver liner of Garcia not seeing eye to eye with Jericho's tactics, another sign that the 24-year-old sees himself more as a professional wrestler than a sports entertainer. I don't know. This tug of war over Daniel Garcia has been kind of maddening, and I don't know where it's going to pay off. I was not on the Daniel Garcia thing. I see a little something there, but I don't know. They've expended a lot of energy to not much of a payoff in this one, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of stretching out a little longer than it should, I think.
Whew. So what have we learned over the past 24 to 48 to 72 hours?
Whew. I think we've learned a lot. I don't know if we've learned a lot. I think a lot of stuff has been solidified that you and I have been talking about. But as far as what we've learned, I think, I think we've learned that, Triple H is still going to do his thing and continue to, you know, whether I like Strowman or not, doesn't matter. Fans seem to like it. So, right. You know, I'm glad he's bringing people back and, you know, Raw wasn't bad tonight. For Raw, for the 3 hours.
It's a big problem because Labor Day is not going to have great ratings. And like I said, then the football stuff starts next week.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a double pronged attack because not only do they sign Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, they're really heavily promote their Manning cast for Monday Night Football as well. So Disney's really hardcore.
Like I said, those matchups are, they look a lot better this season than they did last year on Monday.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot of like Jets and Lions matchups on Monday Night Football anymore. Right. You're not seeing a lot. Ooh, Jaguars and Texans again. Yay.
Ooh, what time? What'd you say?
you're not seeing a lot of that shit. Disney kind of went, hey, we're Disney and we're paying you a lot of money. So we're going to get some better shit. Okay.
Just FYI.
I also think that if the WWE is getting a false sense of security from all the backstage stuff, the blow-ups are going on at AEW, just hold on. You guys just need to slow your roll for a moment. These guys can get their shit back together fairly quickly.
Oh, yeah. I, you know, and really, it wouldn't take a whole lot.
No,
for, you know, Tony just has to man the fuck up. And however hard that is, I don't know, but it doesn't seem like it would be that hard. And just like you said, make some people pay, set the precedent, and that's that. And you don't have to be Vince McMahon, but you can let people know you're the damn boss.
Well, I can see a year from now this being an event where everybody goes, I'm glad we went through this because it made us healthier and we're happier now, and we addressed some issues that need to be addressed. We got rid of some people that didn't need to be here. We got the affirmation of some people who needed to be here and some more commitment from them. So I think it has the potential to be a good event for this company.
And yeah, they still got name people, and like I said, hopefully Adam Cole comes back healthy, and you know, they'll have a strong roster. Even, you know, kick, even if the, let's say they does fire the Bucks, to me, man, I'm sorry. I don't like to see anybody lose their job, but I'm with you, dude. I really do think, the more I'm sitting here assessing things as we talk, I really do think they need to go.
Yeah. I think they're the problem within this company, and there's so much drama going on with, you know, Warner Brothers discovering the cost cutting and stuff like that. But shit, we're still on a huge cable network on Wednesday nights and Friday nights. Let's not talk ourselves into being a fucking indie promotion that's only on YouTube. Let's not do that. You know, no. You got what you got right now. You have the opportunity right now. And a lot of people would like to have that opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing too, you know, even if the Bucks do get fired, it's not like they're not going to be without a place to go. I mean, there are plenty of places for them to go and be, they'll be fine. They'll be get paid. But I think they've run their course in this thing. Even, I don't care if they're some of the founders of it, what the fuck ever. I think they've caused enough shit right now and enough division. People can say Punk causes division all they want, but these motherfuckers have caused the division in this stuff, whether people want to fess up to it or not. They can believe what they want to believe, but the fact of the matter is it's Colt Cabana and those two fuckers and Hangman just because of what he did. But, you know, I'll put asterisks by his name, but as far as the Bucks go, I'm with you, bro. I think they need to move along.
I'll go out saying they peaked 5 years ago, maybe six.
They did.
I mean, sorry.
They're still good. I'm not saying they suck. I'm not saying anything like that. But as far as keeping the company together without it looking like WCW in the later years, they need to go because they just do.
Yeah. If you disagree or if you agree, we don't care. You can tweet us. You can Instagram us. Bryant is available, Bryce Sports, on Instagram and also on Twitter. His TikTok is StanleyJackson23. The show is available. Our Twitter proper is Katie Vick Alive. I am at Britt Whitmire, BRITTWHITMIRE, and that is on the Twitter machine. Instagram, it's B-Dub for Reels, B-D-U-B, number 4, R-E-E-L-Z. And our store for Amazon stuff, where you should shop for all of your Amazon needs, is katievick.com. That is so easy to remember. katievick.com doesn't change the price of anything that you're buying, but we get a little slice of the action. And until next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.